الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Therefore we continue the explanation of Surah Al-Ghashiyah. We are now we have reached verse 17. يقول الله عز وجل أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت. Don't they not look at the camels how they are created. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted the condition of the days or of the day of resurrection, and that people considering or regarding this day are of two kinds. Some will be faces on that day will be joyful, and some faces that day will be humiliated in the hellfire. And this is the faces of all the disbelievers. And Allah made it clear in the beginning of the first 16 verses the recompense due upon each one of them. Humiliation versus joy. Then here he says, do they not look, that which means do they not look at the camels how they are created. This kind of exclamation falls under scolding or rebuking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is scolding them, those who denied that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed of regarding the day of resurrection and regarding the punishment and reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala scolded at them and rebuked them for turning away from contemplating the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is before their hands. And he started with the ibil, with the camels, because these creatures were most encountered by people then, using them as mounts, milking them for milk, eating their meat, utilizing their skin and hair, as well as many other benefits. That's why he said, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ. Don't they look at the camels? كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Meaning, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this great build-up, this great body, bearing, you see it traveling far away distances, reaching far away places, very hard for man to reach on foot, also carrying upon them from loads, in fact being loaded while they are sitting, then they stand up with the full load on their backs, needing no help from no one. And it's the custom that an animal wouldn't be able to stand up when it's loaded. However, these creatures, the camels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them special powers and abilities. All of that for the welfare of man. It is very difficult for man to put on the loads on top of it because of its height, loftiness. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that easy to load it while it's sitting. Then it will take care of standing up on its own and moving ahead. In fact, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, okay, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, in Surah Yaseen, brother Abu Maher in chapter 36 verse 73 Surah Yasin verse 73. That's not the one I'm looking at. ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون. And they have other benefits from them, and they get milk to drink, meaning from them. Will they not then be grateful? Will they not then be grateful? So there are many, many benefits which cannot be even enumerated from these creatures. And the people who are, who deal with them, they know better than us in this respect. So Allah mentions this, and they have not looked at these creatures, how they were created. He didn't mention other creatures, especially those of the cattle, like the sheep, the cows, etc., the deer. That's because these camels were then most beneficial for man. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse, وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Don't also they look, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, at the heavens, how it is raised. Meaning, let them look also at the heavens with all its stars, the sun, the moon, and the other magnificent signs, many of which we don't even know yet. And therefore we can't say that all of these signs that we see now are all, these are, they constitute all of the ayat. There might be other signs, great ones, which we don't know of up till our times now. Don't they look, second verse, verse 18 please, and at the heaven how it is raised, كيف رفعت, how it is raised, raised this magnificent raising above us without a column. It is traditionally known that roofs don't stand up without column supports. However, this magnificent and preserved roof above us is established without any pillars, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ar-Ra'd, which is chapter 13 verse 2. الله الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها. الله الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها. Allah is He who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. The next verse, وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت. Verse 19 please. وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت. And at the mountains, how they are rooted, fixed, firm, firmly fixed. وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت. These great and magnificent mountains carrying the rocks and the neighboring yet distinct parts composed of, this is Surah 88. Akhi Abu Maher, next verse, this means I'm still in the, I mean the Surah that we are going over the explanation now, Surah Al-Ghashiyah, which is number 88. So now verse 19 concerning the mountains. Yes, exactly. And at the mountains, how they are rooted and fixed firm. These mountains composed of many types and kinds of stones with a variety of minerals. They are close to each other, these parts close to each other, yet you see this line in the midst of the rocks containing certain types of minerals not present in the neighboring part. And this is known to the scientists specialized in geology. So don't they look at the mountains, how they are rooted and fixed with this, measured with their measured heights, so that they can be as pegs inside the earth, lest it would shake with us had it not been for this creation of Allah concerning these pegs for these mountains, then the earth would have shaken with its inhabitants. Why? Because the earth is amidst water surrounding it from every side. And what do you think about a ball? You put it there in the middle of water, you will see it moving and shaking, vibrating, and sometimes rolling and turning. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these mountains as pegs holding the earth firm, just as pegs hold the tent firm. They are there firm, standing up, tolerating all these powerful hurricanes and winds and storms which can destroy many of the buildings established by the children of Adam. Yet these mountains are standing firm, unshakable, facing all these magnificent storms. In fact, from its benefits is that it shields the storms, the great storms which comes from the direction of the seas or from other directions as well, lest it will blow people away. And this is something witnessed. You see those people whose dwellings, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, are by the foot of mountains, you find them safe from the effects of storms which comes from the opposite directions of the mountains. And thus there are so many benefits for them. And if the whole creation would come and unite and put their efforts in order just to place one chain of these mountains as we see them now, they wouldn't have a means to do that, despite their progress, despite their powers and abilities. And even though if it will take them as much as they think it will, they will be able to bring something similar to these mountains. Some of the scholars even are with the opinion that these mountains are firmly, go firmly inside the earth to distances equal to their heights in the direction of the sky. And this may not be far from reality, that Allah will enable these mountains in the earth with such measures and extents, so that it will be shaken in any way or facing these storms and these powerful ones. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وَأَنْهَارًا وَسُبُلًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has affixed into the earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and rivers and roads, that you may guide yourselves, and landmarks, and by the stars during the night, the mankind guide themselves. Then next verse from Surah 88, Brother Abu Maher, وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. And at the earth, how it is outspread. Meaning, and look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this earth spread out and stretched vast, so that people can utilize for their agriculture and for their buildings and for other things. What would you think if this earth would have been hilly, not outstretched, meaning hilly like mountains? Then that would have been something difficult to live on, and people would really settle on it the way they are as it is now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it an outspread, easy for the creation. And some of the ulama pointed out that this verse could be taken as evidence that the earth is not spherical, rather outstretched plane. However, this conclusion is incorrect, because there are other verses all indicating, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, that the earth is spherical in shape, and also it is witnessed from its real nature, from the reality as it is. It is something witnessed to be spherical. From these verses is verse 39:5 from Surah Az-Zumar, 39:5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. يُكَوِّر, Allah, and we'll use the term as it is now in Arabic, يُكَوِّر, and we explain it. Okay, here he says in the translation of the meaning, he makes the night to go in the day and makes the day go into night. We will use the same Arabic word يُكَوِّر, and we will explain it inshallah. Allah states here, يُكَوِّر اللَّيْل, the night, to go in the day, and يُكَوِّر the night, يُكَوِّر the day, unto the night. And this takwir means turning around, And we know that the night and the day succeed one another on the earth. And this takwir, which is turning around, necessitates that the earth is mukawwara, mudawwara. That the earth is round. Also, we know from the other verse in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, which is verses 1 and 4, and we came across these verses in the previous discussions. Chapat, when the heaven is split asunder, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, and listens and obeys its Lord, and it must do so, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, and when the earth is stretched forth, and when the earth, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته, and when the earth is stretched forth, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ, and has cast out all that was in it and became empty, and this is concerning the day of resurrection, meaning this will take place on the day of resurrection. And it came in the hadith that on the day of resurrection it will be outstretched, just like you stretch the skin, such that there will be no more mountains or valleys or trees, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, nor any buildings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it as a level, smooth plain, قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا, a level, smooth plain, as in Surah Taha 20:106. You won't find any crookedness, plain, straight. So when Allah says here, when the heaven will split asunder, and this doesn't occur except on the day of resurrection, and now it is not split, and therefore he's saying وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, and when the earth is stretched forth, means on the day of resurrection, and therefore now it is not stretched, it is unstretched, even therefore it is mukawwara, meaning spherical. And there is no doubt that from the witnessing that we see in our times that it is the case without any doubt. Also, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, alaykum assalam. Also, the evidence is that, another evidence is that, if you take to go in a straight line, if you walk in a straight line from here going, or from your place going west, then you will come from the side of the east. You will move around the earth and you will return to the same point from which you left. And the opposite is true, and this therefore is also in support with the conclusion that, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, that it is spherical. So if someone now says, if it is as such being spherical, so how the water of the seas are held on it while it is spherical? Then we say in the answer to that, the one who held the heavens from falling upon the earth except with his leave is able to hold the seas from flooding the earth and drowning its people, its inhabitants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tonight inshallah, tonight, that's the only lecture that you are focusing on, no problem. The beginning will be tonight inshallah. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, for all of those who came late and we didn't say salam. It is from the interpretation of the saying of Allah, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and when the seas will held, is held, this is one meaning, is held from overflowing. And therefore here, the divine ability, we cannot oppose in any way. We say that the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held these seas from flooding the earth and its people, even though the earth is spherical in shape. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, after mentioning four of the signs, and we have counted them now, al-ibil, camels, the heavens, the mountains, and the earth, then he told his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَكِّرْ, he commanded him, فَذَكِّرْ, let's have the verse please, فَذَكِّرْ, so remind them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are only one who reminds. You are only one who reminds. So he didn't specify for him as to whom he should specifically remind. So he didn't say, remind such and such, and thus the reminder is general. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been sent to all mankind. Meaning therefore remind each and every one in whatever condition and in whatever place. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded. And his successors after him, who followed him in this ummah, reminded the ummah with knowledge and actions and propagation. However, does this reminder really benefit everyone from all mankind? The answer is no. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, for indeed, reminder benefits the believers, as in Surah Al-Zariyat 51-55. However, as to the non-believer, the reminder can establish the evidence and the proof upon him, but it would not be of a benefit. And as to the believer himself, if he finds that his heart is not responding to the reminder, then he should accuse his heart. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Why? Because Allah is saying, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, because reminder benefits the believers. So if you are reminded and you don't find an effect in your heart and a benefit, then accuse yourself and know that you have naqsu iman, your faith is in a state of weakness, it diminished. Had it been perfect, it would have been responding to the reminder and thus benefiting from it. Because the reminder, it is inevitable that it will benefit the believers. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Mingus, trying to distract the room, please. I will red dot you now. So, when you decide otherwise, you can sit and listen. Otherwise you can decide whatever you want to do. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ, meaning, O Muhammad, you are only a reminder. This is your task. No, I won't bounce him. Let him stay, inshallah. As for the guidance, then this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Baqarah, يقول الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Baqarah, وإياكم, 2, in chapter 2, verse 272, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's not up to you their guidance, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the guidance of success, the guidance of the heart, However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wishes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the reminder until the last moment of his life. Even then, during the moments when death approached, he used to say, "As-salatu as-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum," reminding us to the prayers as to the importance of the prayers, "As-salah as-salah," and that which your right hand possess. And these were the last of his words, "As-salah as-salah," and as well as reminding the ummah against shirk and against taking the graves of the righteous as places of worship. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminded the ummah concerning the salah from the time he was sent, and it was told and he was commanded, "Qum fa'andar," get up and stand up, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and warn, as in Surah Al-Muddathir verse 2, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees his soul. He strived in all of that, and in every situation, in every time, bearing the harm from his people and from others as well. And for those who have read the seerah, the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, knows well what he had to encounter from the people of Mecca, his people, those so close to him, who knew him and used to call him Al-Amin, the trustworthy. They turned on him. They trusted him in the beginning to the point that they called for him to judge between them when they disputed as to where to place the black stone in which corner of the Kaaba. Every tribe of them was claiming their right for that honorable action of where to put the stone. So he ordered that a sheet be spread and to be held from every corner by one of the chiefs of these tribes, and they all take by it to its place. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it with his honorable hand and put it and placed it in its proper place. He used to call him Al-Amin, the trustworthy. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him the prophethood, everything changed, and they started calling him magician, soothsayer, crazy, insane, liar, poet. They accused him almost of everything. And he had one task during all of these afflictions. One task: reminding and reminding and reminding. And from this we understand, therefore, that guidance is in the hands of Allah, and that it is impossible for us to guide the closest person to us. يقول الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Qasas in 28, Surah 28 verse 56, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, you cannot guide those whom you love, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wishes. And therefore we shouldn't really feel sorrow if or sad when we remind someone and we see only from him arrogance or argumentation, or for him to say, "I can do whatever I wish," or the like. قال الله تعالى, in this respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكَ بَأْخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. As in 26, Brother Abu Maher, are you here? 26, Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 3. It may be that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are going to kill yourself with grief that they don't become believers in your risalah and your message. In your message, meaning in the message of Tawheed. So don't end up destroying yourself if they don't believe. Their belief is for their own sake. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. The next verse, please, of the same surah now. You are not a dictator over them. Okay. So you are not a dictator over them. So you have no authority upon them. That authority solely belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all that exists. You have only to proclaim and remind, O Muhammad. However, authority, all of that is to Allah, the Most Mighty and Most Majestic. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. You are not a dictator over them, save the one who turns away and disbelieves. Then Allah will punish him with the greatest punishment. And the next verse, please. Now in Surah 88, they call you daughter Abu Maher. طيب. إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر. Meaning that who turns away and disbelieves, after you have reminded him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict punishment, the عذاب الأكبر, with the greatest punishment he will be inflicted. And therefore the one who turns away and disbelieves after the revelation have been given to him, then certainly he is going to be punished. Meaning turning away from the truth, not responding, not accepting, not listening, even though he may listen to it by his ears, but that of the heart is not present. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 8, 20 and 21, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. سورة الأنفال, ولا تكونوا كالذين قالوا سمعنا وهم لا يسمعون. 2021. All who you believe, obey Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't turn away from him. Meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while you are hearing. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا. And be not like those who say, we have heard, but they heard not. Meaning they don't follow, they don't obey, they don't submit. And therefore here it refers to the person who turns away and disdains arrogantly. And this greatest punishment he will face is on the day of resurrection. There could be a lesser punishment for him in this life. He may be afflicted with certain diseases in his body, or in his intellect, or in his family, or in his wealth, or in his society. But however, all of this with respect to the greatest one is considered of a lesser one, of a minor, compared to that which is the greatest that will come on the day of resurrection. That's why he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after this, he said, إِنَّ إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ, meaning they will surely return to us, فَالرُّجُوعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, thus turning, all will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None can escape this fact, no matter how long he is granted from life on this earth, certainly he is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. O man, verily you are returning towards your Lord with your deeds and actions, and thus you will meet him. Surah Al-Inshiqaq, verse 6, which is Surah 84, verse 6. So my brother and my sister, we should prepare for this time, because it is surely coming. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما منكم من احد الا سيكلمه ربه ليس بينه وبينه ترجمان. None of you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to him, will speak to him, and there is no one acting as a translator between him and Allah. It will be direct, and this will be on the day of resurrection. He will look then, فَيَنْظُرْ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. So he will look to his right, and he wouldn't see anything except that which he had prepared for this day. And then he will look for his left, and the same thing, he will only find that which he had prepared. And then he will look forward, and he will find only the fire of hell facing his face. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. So shield yourself from the fire of hell even with half a date, meaning in sadaqah, in charity. Each one of us will encounter this moment with his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, and he will make him attest to his sins, telling him, you did such and such on such on such day. And he will confess. After he confesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, قَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. I have shielded you concerning these sins in the life of the world, and today I will forgive those for you. How many are the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shielded for us? How many of them we have committed and no one knows of them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore our stance with respect to these sins is that we seek forgiveness from Allah, the most mighty and most magnificent, and that we increase our righteous deeds, which will expiate the sins, so that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a state which is pleasing to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. The last verses from the surah. And verily, then verily for us will be their reckoning. And this reckoning here, it is not like you will be called to account about the deeds, because if any one of us is called to account then he will be destroyed. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention one of his favors that he bestowed upon us like that of the sight, then you wouldn't find any kind of deed to stand as something that will equate this favor of Allah. Look at breaking up this time. Okay. Look at our breath. Okay. We breathe without any difficulty. It goes in and out without a difficulty. We speak and we sleep. We eat and we drink. We don't feel this breath. And none of us would really, really give it the proper estimate it deserves, except that if he is touched by something that will prevent or block this breath, then in this case he would remember the ni'mah of Allah, the blessing upon Allah, of Allah upon him. However, when he is a state of good well-being, he will say, "Oh, this is something natural." So if a person is to be called to account, then he will be destroyed, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha, when he told Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, "Man nuqish al-hisab halak." None will be called to account about his deeds on the day of resurrection, but will be ruined. In another narration, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aw 'udhib," or that he will be punished. However, with the believers, we know the hisab is as has been described early in the hadith of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the believer attest to his sins, saying, "I have done this and I have done that," and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shield it for him. However, with respect to the unbelievers, they are not going to face the same thing that the believers will face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they don't have good deeds that will expiate their sins. However, their actions will be counted for them, and they will make a testimony of it before all creation, and then it will be called, as in Surah Hud, هؤلاء الذين كذبوا على ربهم ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين. In Surah Hud, in 11:18, هؤلاء الذين كذبوا على ربهم ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين. سأل الله العافية. And the witnesses that they will say, "These are the ones who lied against their Lord, no doubt the curse of Allah is on the zalimeen, on the polytheists, the wrongdoers," etc. We seek refuge in Allah from that humiliation. And with these words, the Shaykh rahimahullah finished the explanation of this great surah. And this is Surah Al-Ghashiyah. It is one of the chapters, one of the surahs, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite in the great congregational prayers, like Salat al-Eid, Eid al-Fitr, or Eid al-Adha, and similarly in Salat al-Jumu'ah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh ended with the dua, Nas'alullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High, أن يجعلنا ممن تكون وجوههم ناعمة لسعيها راضية, to make us from those whose faces would be filled with joy and pleased, and that he takes care of us in this life and in the hereafter. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this brings the end of the tafsir of Surah Al-Ghashiyah, and inshallah ta'ala tomorrow we'll start Surah Al-Fajr. Surah Al-Fajr, which is Surah 89, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ إلى آخره. نعم, the brother who sent in the PM, a brother sent in the PM general question, I mean, can one ask Allah